So welcome to our first midweek communion service. It's wonderful to have you here. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for those that are joining us online. You are very, very welcome. And it's a delight to worship with you. For those that don't know me, I'm Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here at St. Andrew's and All Saints. And we're going to be following the service booklet, which many of you at home may well have, all the words are on the website if you would like to get those and follow the words through. But that's how we'll be doing the service. So we'll be starting on page 21 of the service sheets, but let me pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we welcome you into this place. Whether we're here at St. Andrew's gathered in person, or whether we are in our home or gathered with others in our home listening online, may we encounter the Lord Jesus this morning. Know his love. Know that we are loved and belong to him. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, on page 21, the greeting. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, let's say together, paragraph 2. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Grant us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today we're continuing our theme, the second week of We Are the Church, Learning to be Kingdom People. And so Joan is going to come and read our lesson from 2 Corinthians.
And the reading is from the second book to the Corinthians, beginning at verse 11 in chapter 5. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of Christ. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Joan. So we're in our second week of learning to be kingdom people. And today's reading is from the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And it is overwhelmingly a defense of his ministry and his mission, primarily against false teachers. And in this particular passage that Joan read, he articulates the very essence of what drives him to be and do what he does. What gets him out of bed in the morning? What drives him to be a kingdom person? This passage of scripture can teach us so much about what it means to be a kingdom person ourselves, to be a kingdom people as a community. And today, we're continuing to focus on our up relationship as a kingdom person, and less about our out as a kingdom person or our in as a kingdom person. We're continuing to focus on our relationship with God, our up. And in that, I want to hone in on verse 14. This is the kernel of the letter, the engine that drives Paul to do what he does. Paul says this in verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us." To do what he does, he compels him to be a kingdom person. And I want to consider those two phrases today. Firstly, compels. Paul says he's compelled to do his ministry and his mission. Being compelled is a really strong word. I looked up the definition. It says forced to do something. It talks about deep motivation from perhaps an external or an internal force. There's something about being compelled that says, I don't have a choice in this. We have to respond. There's a forward, front foot posture with that word. It's a strong verb, isn't it? Compel. Paul is defending his ministry, saying, I'm not just doing it because I want to. It's because I'm compelled to. He doesn't have a choice. So I wonder in your life, where do you feel compelled to do something? Do you feel compelled to support your children by looking after grandchildren? Do you feel compelled to pray when you hear of particular situations? Do you look up at the hills and feel compelled to go for a walk? Do you look out the window, look at the garden and feel compelled to go and mow it because the grass has got out of hand? I know that there are certain expressions that my children give when they want something which leaves me compelled to respond. That's not always a positive thing. So what is compelling Paul? Paul says, for Christ's love. For Christ's love compels him to do his ministry and mission. What was that love of Christ that Paul is compelled by? In summary, it's the cross. It's the cross. John 3:16. We know it so well. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John says in chapter 15, greater love has no man than when he lays down his life for his friends. God expresses his love for you and for me by sending himself in the person of Jesus to die on the cross, to sacrifice his life for you and I. And in so doing, God reconciled, brought together through this cross, from here to here, reconciled the world to himself. Verse 18 in this reading. To this point, there is separation between us and God. There exists a broken relationship between Creator and created, between humans and Father God. But Jesus' death on the cross bridged that broken relationship and restored it. I read somewhere, there is no power so great, no motivation so strong as the knowledge that someone loves you. If you're married or you have children or very, very close friends, you will know what love does to you in response to the other person. In this passage, Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth that he is so overwhelmed by the revelation of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. He's so overwhelmed by the love that God showed by Jesus' death that he is now compelled. That love, a controlling force in the apostle's life. Why on earth do we as believers have a symbol of grotesque torture and death as our Christian rallying point? It's because the cross is not only an expression of death or an instrument of death. It is an expression of unfailing love. The cross, the instrument of death upon Jesus, which Jesus was nailed, speaks a greater word than death. It speaks of resurrection life, of eternal hope, of rescue, of restoration, of love. I wonder what is your revelation of God's love for you today? Is it a burning passion, or is it a dull light, or somewhere in between? Because the state of our revelation and our understanding of God's love for you and I will affect our desire, our compelling to be kingdom people and to be a kingdom people out in the world. I remember age 20 being taken to a church in London, and that evening, on that Sunday evening, I encountered Jesus for the first time. I can remember the passion, the love, the excitement, the overwhelming sense of love I had that day. And of course, the nature of our fragile humanness is that we have our ability that love fades. We become complacent. A love can dwindle over a time. We see this in friendships and in marriages. A love can be dulled over time unless we invest, unless we nurture, unless we pursue that relationship and keep that love aflame. In contrast, God's love for you and me never, ever dwindles or fades. He is always there loving us, and he loves you today, whatever your situation, wherever you are. However, even as people of faith, as a community of faith, our love towards God can become a shadow of what it's meant to be. We become distracted by the challenges of the world and the things of the world. We become desensitized by what we are about what we are a part of. The result is that we can lose our compelling motivation and fire for sharing the gospel and being kingdom people. I certainly know it's true for me. I want to invite us all today to begin to think what it means to fan into flames Christ's love expressed by the cross again for you today. How can we fan into flames that first love? It may be prayer, asking for a fresh revelation. It might be reviewing what Dave was teaching about last week, devoting ourselves to rhythms of prayer, devoting ourselves to getting back into the scriptures, to being building community, being open for growth, for new rhythms of spiritual rhythms on a daily basis. It's all about engaging and becoming intimate with God and getting to know his love once again. And that means engaging with him and building a relationship. But of course, perhaps some of us here, perhaps some listening online, perhaps we've never encountered that love before. Perhaps we don't know what it is to know Jesus as our rescuer, as our savior. And as I draw this to a close, I want to share and invite those, if you've never asked the Lord into your life, if you've never experienced that love and that sense of belonging, I want to invite you today to pray a prayer and invite God to come into your life. He wants to love you. He is loving you. He wants you to receive his love. And if that's something you'd like to do, I'd love to say a prayer over us now. And if you would like to engage with that, say that prayer in your heart, or if you're at home, you want to say it out loud after me, then please do. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I am sorry that I have lived life separate from you. I am sorry for going on my own way and following my own paths. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. And today I choose to turn the other way and to be reconciled to you. Thank you for the love of Christ who died on the cross for me and bridged our separation. And I pray, dear Lord, would you reveal yourself to me now? Amen. And if you said that prayer, I would love you to get in contact with us by email, through our website. You can find details on our website. We would love to come alongside you and encourage you in your walk. But let me pray for us all and for you. Lord Heavenly Father, wherever we are right now, I pray for a fresh revelation of your love expressed through the cross. that we would be once again compelled to be kingdom people, bringing the good news to the world. Amen. Isaac Watts was a great composer of hymns. Many of you will know him. And in the 1700s, he wrote, "When I survey the wondrous cross." And verse 4, it says this, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." And we're going to listen to this. All the words will come up on the screen. So enjoy, chew on those words and allow those words to flow over you. So amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Can I invite you to stand if you'd like, and we're going to say the creed together, which is on page 24. We say together in faith, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We believe in God the Father, who created all things, for by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son, who was slain, For with his blood he purchased us for God, from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please sit for our intercessions. I'm going to pray and lead us in prayer and basically leave space for you to bring your own prayers while I've introduced a topic. So in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. And Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Strengthen all your church in the service of Christ, that those who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Perhaps in our own prayers, we pray not only for ourselves, but all the churches in Malvern. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give grace to us, our families and friends, and to all our neighbours, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Let us bring to the Lord our own hearts, those on our own hearts. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. And again, we bring and name in our own hearts those known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear us as we remember those who have died in the faith. Grant us with them to share in your eternal kingdom. And finally, Lord, we bring to you the world, a troubled and broken world, but a world in so many ways that reflects and does reflect you. Let us bring to the Lord a nation or a country on our own hearts, that he may be known and rule over that nation. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I invite you to stand and we're going to say the peace to one another and then we'll wave at each other in sharing that. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. and also with you. As we can, look at each other. Great, please take a seat. If this is the first time you've been at a communion service, just to assure you that we're still doing communion one in kind, therefore I'll be distributing the bread, but I'll take the cup on our behalf. And whilst I say our words, then the bread is covered and protected. And I will come out to you if you could extend your hand, and then I will drop the bread into your hand as I go round when we get there. We're going to follow the Eucharistic prayer on page 32, starting at the bottom. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord God, the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourselves. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. So on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice in joining the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we say together at paragraph 18. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. So receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Let us eat and drink in the Spirit, in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him on your heart by faith with thanksgiving. And I pray, and as we join in this communion, for a fresh revelation of his love for you this day. And may that love compel us to be more of the kingdom people that we're designed to be than we are today.